Welcome to the Fact Check Arizona podcast from Arizona Public Media. In each episode, this series will look at a particular claim that someone has made in Arizona, will set the record straight, and also give a sense of context on what is happening with that claim. I'm Steve Jess, and joining me is our podcast producer, Zach Ziegler.
Hi, Steve. Good to be here.
Good to see you again face to face. We've been doing a lot of these shows over the cloud.
Yes.
For several months now. Zach, I've got some audio clips to start with today. These are tidbits that I heard at recent meetings of the Pima and Cochise County Boards of Supervisors, and this struck me as a topic that needed to be addressed. Let's start with some audio from someone who identified themselves as Daniel Wood at the October 4th Pima County Supervisors meeting.
The two laboratories and our government contractors, which have issued machine certifications for voting machines in this state, were not in contract to do so, and therefore any federal voting machine certification is void.
And next we'll hear from a gentleman named Michael Schaefer. This comes from the Cochise County Board of Supervisors meeting on October 24th, but he also made similar statements at the October 4th Pima Board meeting.
Know that your machines are not certified. We've been studying this issue for 2 years. I own an accredited lab. I know what it takes to be accredited. And I believe there's many people in this country and in the room that seek to take away our votes from us, using in part illegal voting machines, which have not been lawfully certified since 2018 and maybe before.
So there's a lot to unpack here, Zach. Let's start with the status of the laboratories that test voting systems.
Yes, Steve, these folks are right that there are two companies that are approved to do this job, ProVNV of Huntsville, Alabama, and SLI Compliance of Wheat Ridge, Colorado. A quick note, I looked up information on both of those companies, and Michael Schaefer is not an owner or board member of either. SLI is actually a subsidiary of Gaming Laboratories International, for anyone who wants to have a look.
In a sense, we verified Michael Schaefer's identity, similar to the process used to verify a voter's identity. We looked up online video of Michael Schaefer speaking to both of the boards, and he appears to be the same person shown on his LinkedIn profile and on the webpage of Compliance Testing LLC, where he's listed as president. His company does Federal Communications Commission compliance testing for electronic products, and that is not the same process or the same field as election compliance testing.
Yeah, and now back to the task at hand here. ProVNV and SLI Compliance are, as of November 6th, listed as accredited by the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. And in a statement, the EAC says the two lab certifications have not expired. In fact, EAC says, quote, "The Help America Vote Act states that a lab cannot lose its accreditation unless there is a vote by the commission to revoke it. The commission has not voted to revoke any VSTL lab's accreditation," unquote. So, contrary to what has been said by Michael Schaefer and many others, the labs are legally allowed to certify elections devices.
Pima County Elections Director Constance Hargrove says in a memo that there was an administrative error that resulted in ProVNV's certification not being updated because of an issue around auditing them due to COVID-19, but they remain in good standing.
Yeah, and I found that same memo, Steve, when researching the show, and it goes on to list the equipment that is certified to be used in the state. That made me curious about how these machines and election systems in each county get checked out to ensure that it's running properly. That brought me to Ken Mata. He works for a company that does a variety of election-related services now, but he's only been there since May. Before that, he was the security lead in the Secretary of State's office for almost 20 years, dating back to the era when Jam Brewer was the Secretary of State. During that time, he was part of the Vote Count Verification and Election Certification Committees, as well as some other federal election committees. He walked me through how that equipment made it onto that list.
We take equipment that has already been certified at the federal level by independent laboratories according to the Help America Vote Act, and we examine it further and we test it to make sure it works properly and it complies with the extra added requirements of Arizona revised statutes.
So it sounds like he's pretty familiar with these machines and with the process. Did you get into any other election-related conspiracy theories with him?
Yeah, Steve. He laid out many of the security checks that happened for me, and we started by talking about how voting machines get checked out before an election. He said that before an election, the Secretary of State's office runs a random selection of machines through a sort of checkup.
The Secretary of State has compiled a large test, a very large test, hundreds and hundreds of ballots. We've marked them in a particular way that we know how we've marked them. We know what the expected results should be for that election. It's unknown to the counties. We go out there and we run the test through their equipment. They produce a report. We compare it to the report of what we were expecting. And when they match, exactly match, we sign a certificate and basically they can have an election.
Notice that he said exactly match. The results can't be one or two off. It has to be perfect. And while the Secretary of State's office checks a random assortment of equipment, the county itself is expected to do a similar test on all equipment before the election. And the Secretary of State's tests go beyond checking the machines. They're also making sure that the counties handle the human side of the operation properly as well.
We're feeding human-marked ballots, and we're checking for how it handles human errors, too. And we're also testing voter intent. That's called adjudication.
It sounds like he's talking about what happens when a machine can't figure out what a voter meant when they mark their ballot.
Yeah, exactly. Let's say a voter accidentally marked two ovals when they should have only marked one, or maybe someone accidentally voted for the wrong person and tried to clarify their vote on their ballot. If that happens, counties should have multiple people of different political parties look at the ballot and see if they can determine how a ballot should be counted.
So has Mr. Mata ever seen mistakes on these tests?
Yeah, but it's always been the humans, not the machines, that made the mistake.
In most cases, that's what's happened, and the equipment will count it correctly. We'll have a discrepancy. We'll go back and we'll find out that it was the humans that made the error.
So maybe a tester marked something wrong, or the ballot itself had a little dark speck woven into it that caused the machine error. When a test comes back with a mismatch to what they're expecting, for his 20 years, Mata says it's always been a human error.
Now, what about the myth of extra ballots being slid into the tray before tabulation happens? How do they check for that?
Well, Mata says there's multiple checks that are mandated by law to make sure that can't happen.
So, for instance, we will check the voting roster, the number of people that came in and were handed ballots against the number of ballots we received through the equipment, right? We'll produce a report from that equipment at the polling place at the end of the night.
So basically, they have paperwork that says how many ballots left the polling place, so they'd know if there were extra or if they were short. And I asked how many little checks like this happen along the way.
Oh, dozens, hundreds. But keep in mind that the policies that they're following themselves are also dictated. Like, nobody in Arizona is allowed to handle a ballot unless there's more than one person there, right? And of opposite parties preferred, right? And the election offices enforce that rigorously.
What about once a ballot has arrived at the place where it's going to be tabulated? How do we know that those machines haven't been tampered with?
Well, first of all, getting to those machines is very difficult. You can't hack into them remotely because by law, they are, as geeks like to say, air-gapped.
Vote tabulation equipment, actual election equipment, is never connected to the internet or never connected to another network that could be connected to the internet.
And these systems are kept in conditions where they're literally and figuratively transparent. Mata used Maricopa County as an example.
In Maricopa, they've got their servers in a glass room, right, with cameras on them 24/7. With 360-degree access, so observers like myself from the Secretary of State or political observers can walk all the way around the server and see what's going on. So the network cables that go out onto the floor in the tabulation room to the scanners or the adjudication centers, we can follow those network wires all the way, like across the ceiling in racks So it's visible. We call it overt wiring. And you can see that there's no cables that just like disappear into a wall.
These are computers, though, and computers do need updated software from time to time. How do they check to make sure the software isn't corrupted, that it's not tampered with somehow?
Well, they use a system called hash numbers. Basically, they have a long sequence of numbers that the certified manufacturer gives them. If they feed that sequence into the machine, it should spit out a different sequence on the other end that they know.
And if you change like one character in that software and you rehash it, you'll get an entirely different number out the back.
And by the way, if you don't trust that the machine's got your vote right, you can always check yourself.
It's called voter verification. You're able, as a voter, to see your vote on paper, optically. So it's you'll never reach a place where your vote just goes purely electronic and it disappears off into the ether and you don't know whether it counted or not. We always have a paper audit trail of how everybody voted.
So are those all the checks?
Not even close. I talked with Ken Mata for half an hour and we barely skimmed the surface.
All of these audits and sub-audits are what we call procedural security. The statutes are just chock full of them. It's more than I could even try to start to tell you.
Remember, he said that each vote goes through dozens, possibly hundreds of checks before things are said and done. And each county and each voting machine company does things a little differently, and that makes the system even less vulnerable.
You know, if we were all using one system, I would be worried. That's when at the point where I would be worried about something getting hacked. But there's so many people from different parties on different equipment, different policies, different procedures that it makes it as a whole very hard to compromise it.
So the last thing that I asked Mata is, since he's an expert who is now out of the public sector, can he think of anything that Arizona could be doing better? And he surprised me. He didn't talk about what the state or counties could do. Here's what he had to say.
Have faith in our neighbors and our sister-in-laws and our brothers and our mothers that are working in elections. These are Americans with patriotic values that are working tirelessly in a very harsh and complex industry for very little money because they believe in democracy and they believe in supporting the Republic of the United States. They're patriots.
So I was asking him to point at problems for me, but his answer kind of reminded me of that old saying about when you point your finger at someone, remember that all your other fingers point back at yourself.
Well, that's it for this edition of Fact Check Arizona. Even though this drops the day before Election Day, it's not the end of our podcast. We'll be back next week with some helpful tips on how you can do what we did here, a little fact-checking 101. Philip Howard is our fact-checker. For producer Zach Ziegler, I'm Steve Jess. Thanks for listening. Join us one more time.